I was reading this past week about a fitness center that offered $1,000 to anyone who could demonstrate that they were stronger than the owner of the fitness center, who would squeeze every bit of juice out of the lemon into a glass. He would then hand the lemon to a challenger, saying that he would give the challenger $1,000 to squeeze another drop out of the lemon. Many tried and failed, but one day a short, skinny fellow turned up and he tried. The owner grabbed the lemon first, squeezed away, and then handed this lemon to the little fellow, who clenched his fist around it, and 6 drops fell into the glass. In amazement, the owner asked, "What did this young fellow do for a living?" The little man replied, "I work for the CRA." If you tell anybody that, I'll deny it. Have you filed your taxes yet? And I know some of you leave it right to the last minute. I add that some people find it tough to be honest during tax time. And here's a letter that was actually received by the CRA a few years ago. It read, "Enclosed, you will find a check for $150. I cheated on my tax return last year and have not been able to sleep ever since. If I still have troubles sleeping, I'll send you the rest." Friends, on his way to Jerusalem, where Jesus would be crucified, we read in Luke chapter 18 that on the outskirts of Jericho, as he's coming towards Jerusalem, he encounters blind Bartimaeus. And Bartimaeus was the poorest guy around, from the lowest social class. That's Luke chapter 18. In fact, it's verse 35 to 43. Now, in the next chapter, in Luke chapter 19, verse 1, we see that Jesus is passing through Jericho. And he comes into contact with a very wealthy fellow from the top of the economic ladder. Luke simply introduces him by saying in Luke 19, verse 1 and 2, "Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through. A man was there by the name of Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was wealthy." Friends, we see that Zacchaeus was a man of some prominence. In fact, his name in the Hebrew means pure and righteous, or his name means the righteous one. But Zacchaeus was not living up to his namesake. In fact, he was anything but pure and righteous. In fact, he was opposite to that. Rather, he was known as, and if you read in the New Living Translation, you will find that in Luke chapter 19, verse 7, the people called him a notorious sinner. A notorious sinner. As a tax collector working for the Romans, most Jews would have considered Zacchaeus a traitor. But in the eyes of Jesus, he was a lost sinner in search of a savior. Prior to meeting Jesus, Zacchaeus was all about taking. You see, Caesar permitted the freelance tax collectors to tax just about anything. If you owned a boat, if you caught a fish, if you had your house, if you had crops, the tax collectors could just choose what to take tax on, as long as Caesar got his cut. And so these tax collectors would go and tack on 10%, 20%, 30%, 50%, 100%, whatever they wanted for their own pockets. And if anyone refused to pay, they could dispatch a group of Roman soldiers to do their dirty work. They literally had the license for extortion and blackmail. Tax collectors, friends, were not new to Jesus. Early in his ministry, while going and choosing the disciples, Jesus had attracted all kinds of people. And worse yet, the Pharisees, the religious people of the day, in their eyes, Jesus received these people warmly. Let's look right at the beginning of Jesus' ministry in Luke chapter 5. Jesus was criticized for that. Then Levi. Do you know Levi? Where are all the Bible scholars here? That's Matthew. Then Levi had a great banquet for Jesus at his house. Levi was a tax collector. Matthew, who was one of the disciples, was a tax collector. And Levi had this big dinner for Jesus at his house. And a large crowd of tax collectors and others were eating with him. But the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, who belonged to their sect, complained to his disciples, "Why do you eat and drink with tax collectors and sinners?" And you see, friends, while Zacchaeus was very wealthy and successful by the world standards, he knew in his heart that something was missing. Friends, Zacchaeus had money, but he realized there's something more. He realized that money cannot buy real happiness. I've read stories of people, seven people who won the lotto. And they all said it was the worst experience of their lives. And here is Zacchaeus, who had gained a great deal of wealth doing his job. He realized that there are few things money cannot buy. Money can buy medicine, but it can't buy health. Money can buy a house, but it cannot buy a home. Money can buy a companionship, but it cannot buy a friend. Money can buy food, but it cannot buy an appetite. Money can buy a bed, but it cannot buy sleep. Money can buy a good life, but it cannot buy eternal life. Amen. And Zacchaeus, a man who had it all, realized he actually had nothing. In Luke chapter 19, verse 3, he wanted to see who Jesus was. But because he was short fellow, he could not see over the crowd. Notice it doesn't say that Zacchaeus wanted to see Jesus. No. It says he wanted to see who Jesus was. Why? Because perhaps he looked in the mirror that morning and realized that he didn't like who he saw. Maybe he was tired of being excluded from the community. Maybe he was tired of being alone by being an outcast. Perhaps he was finding that money could not buy love and happiness. Maybe the conflict between what he knew was right and how he was living was too painful for him. And so, friends, when he hears that Jesus is passing through his hometown, when Jesus is passing through Jericho, the same Jesus who eats and talks with tax collectors and sinners, Zacchaeus said, "Man, I got to slip out of the house and head downtown where I can see Jesus." He wanted to figure out what it was that made Jesus so different from everyone else. He was drawn to this man who had just healed blind Bartimaeus on the outskirts of Jericho. Now the healer was walking through his town. He may not have fully understood it, but Zacchaeus was desperate to get to Jesus. And that's how some of you are feeling this morning. You're drawn to Jesus. You are intrigued by who he is and you want to know more about him. You've seen the change he's made in this person's life and that person's life. And you are saying, "Man, if he can do it for them, he can do it for me." And you are desperate to meet with him. Zacchaeus had two problems. One, he was short. Now, while I'm tempted to have a field day on jokes about short people, we can't be too hard on short people. You know why? Short people are the only people in the world who are always looking up. And then don't forget this one. God only allows things to grow until they're perfect. Perfect. The tall fellows that took longer. But enough about short people. Most of us know Zacchaeus from our Sunday school song. Tegan and him, when they were small, they used to sing this song in the Sunday school. Zacchaeus was a wee little man, and a wee little man was he. He climbed up into the sycamore tree for the Lord he wanted to see. And the Lord said, "Zacchaeus, come down, for I'm coming to your house for tea." But I picture that as he was in the main street there, I can see him standing on his toes, trying to jump up and see above the crowd in front of him, and he couldn't get past. I can imagine in the crowd there were some unhappy taxpayers who saw this little man and accidentally, on purpose, gave him the elbow. Secondly, Zacchaeus' problem was spiritual. His sins were keeping him from Jesus. Isaiah 59 verse 2 says, "Your iniquities have separated you from your God. Your sins have hidden his face from you." Friends, not only was Zacchaeus of short stature, he, like us, was unable to measure up to God's standards. Why? Because of the sin in his life. Zacchaeus was short on integrity, but he was tall on sin. I love what the next verse says in verse 4 of our text. So Zacchaeus ran ahead and climbed a sycamore tree to see him, since Jesus was coming that way. You see, Zacchaeus was a resourceful fellow. He said, "I may be short, but I'm not stupid." He ran ahead of the crowd, looked for a way that he could see Jesus. Two amazing things happened that day. Do you know it was considered undignified for a rich man to run? And then says he running. Must have been a joke. Secondly, wealthy men did not climb trees. You see, the sycamore trees were growing on the side of the road, and Zacchaeus knew he can get a good view from there. He probably got caught on the branches, but it didn't slow him down. He probably fell out a few times. Maybe some people were looking at him, pointing at him, and screaming with laughter. But he was determined, friends. He was determined to see Jesus. And frankly, he didn't care what others thought about his sprinting and his climbing. Perhaps that's you, friend. You are desperate to meet with Jesus. You are desperate to see him. And though there are people in your own family, though your friends and your neighbors will point at you and laugh and say, you become a holy roller and all these fancy teasing that they have upon you. But you are determined. You don't care what others are saying, friends. And we find that that Zacchaeus, who was searching, was actually Jesus who was seeking him. Let's look at verse 5. And when Jesus reached the spot under the tree, he looked up and he said, look at these words, "Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today." With all the people around him, around that tree, walking with Jesus, they all stop. Looking at this despised tax collector, the crowd anticipated a strong rebuke, a tongue lashing from Jesus, a scolding from Jesus. But Jesus didn't scold Zacchaeus, nor did he embarrass him or shame him. Jesus didn't say, "You are a horrible thief." Jesus didn't say, "Stop stealing from the public." Jesus did not say, "Stop getting rich off the backs of poor people." Instead, friends, listen, Jesus honors him by calling him by name. Amen. Jesus didn't say, "Hey, you, thief, robber, tax collector, enemy." No. Jesus said, Zacchaeus, I want to come to your house. How does that sound, friends? Jesus took note of Zacchaeus, although we don't know why. He stopped, he looked up, he called Zacchaeus by name, and he invited himself to Zacchaeus' house. Isn't that lovely? Hey? You say, "Hey, Keith, you don't know about me, man. I'm worse than Zacchaeus." But Jesus knows your name.
Amen.
Amen. He knows your name. You're not it. You're not thing. He knows your name. You know why? He loves you, friends.
Amen.
He loves you.
That's right.
We see that Jesus, who was on his way to Jerusalem, you know what's going to happen at Jerusalem? Jesus is going to get nailed to the cross. Jesus is going to die. He's going to be murdered. But as he's going to the cross to pay for the sins of the world, he stops and pays attention to this man who felt unloved, unaccepted. This man who felt that he's the worst sinner, as the Bible calls him, the chief sinner, the one who is a notorious sinner. The chief tax collector, the one who's a notorious sinner. Friends, Jesus made the first move. And he does that also with us, friends. For us who are dead in our trespasses and sins, Jesus offers life through himself. "I have come that you may have life, and that you may have it more abundantly." We would never be able to come to Jesus unless he came to us first. And then he gives Zacchaeus a twofold command. Come down immediately. Right now, we sense an urgency. In 2 Corinthians 6, verse 2, it says, "Now is the time of God's favor. Now is the day of salvation." Do you sense the urgency that, friends? It doesn't say, you know, when you retire, when you're done studying, when you're all grown up, then when you've got nothing to do, you may come down and receive Christ. No, it says now, today. Can you imagine what must have been going through the minds of those who were walking with Jesus. How did Jesus know this fellow's name? Why did Jesus stop under that particular tree? Why did Jesus want the sinner to come down right away? And then Jesus gives the second part of the command. I must stay at your house today. Not next week, buddy, when I'm passing through, or the next week. No, today, now. Why did Jesus use the word must? I must come to your house. Friends, the Pharisees considered tax collectors to be sinners. Jesus wants to come to our house. It's all about what his ministry is about, friends. Then we see Zacchaeus didn't waste any time getting out of the tree. Verse 6 says, so he came down at once and welcomed him, that's Jesus, gladly. He got way more than he asked for. He wanted to get a closer look at Jesus. Now Jesus is coming over for dinner. He was so overwhelmed with joy. The word gladly there carries with it the idea of joyful praise. It's similar to the response from blind Bartimaeus in verse 43 of Luke chapter 18. When he received his sight, the Bible says, he praised God. Next week we will see, friends, next Sunday, that as Jesus came riding on a donkey into Jerusalem, the disciples break out into joyful praise as he enters Jerusalem, Luke 19:37. Friends, you can't be sad with heavy hearts, minds full of worry and concerns and cares. When you have an encounter with Jesus,
yes,
you know the joy of the Lord is your strength.
Amen.
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 You worship him. Now, in contrast to Zacchaeus's joy, Zacchaeus wants to dance on the ceiling. Man, he is about to explode in praise. Man, everybody said, man, we didn't see the short boy, man, laughing so much and excited and being happy. But listen, for the rest of the people, Luke chapter 7, all the people saw this and began to mutter. He has gone to be the guest of a sinner. New Living Translation. He has gone to be the guest of a notorious sinner. Friends, we might want to criticize the crowd. Why do you guys behave that way? Why are you so grumpy? But many times we respond the same way. We think that some folk are too bad, that they don't deserve God's love and forgiveness, that we are somehow better than they are. Friends, listen to the good news, the best news you've heard so far. No one is too bad for God.
Amen.
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 After the meal and conversation with Jesus, we see Zacchaeus was greatly impacted by the call on his life. We see a change taking place. Zacchaeus pushes himself away from the table, as it were. And in verse 8 he says, but Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, look, Lord, yeah and now. See, you see that? I'm emphasizing now, friends. He didn't say, you know what, next week. Or how about, you know, when I turn 50. Yeah and now. I give half of my possessions to the poor. And if I have cheated anyone out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount. Friends, nobody who all his life was concerned about taking and getting richer. Nobody does that unless they have had an experience with Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen. Zacchaeus realized that he's being a greedy cheat who defrauded people now becomes a man with a benevolent and a just heart. Friends, nothing can account for this dramatic change except the transforming power of the grace of God in Jesus Christ.
Amen.
You are not able to change yourself, but the grace of God in Christ Jesus is able to change you. The phrase here and now indicates he's not wanting to negotiate a contract with Jesus or just trying to slide by. He didn't say, I'll think about it. Hopefully one day I'll do it. No, he said, here and now, Lord. And he was fully sold out. And that's what happens when you come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Here and now, friends, there's a transformation and you are never the same again. Whoever or whenever Jesus meets someone, there is a change. If you have never changed, you haven't really met Jesus.
That's right.
William Booth, the founder of the Salvation Army, understood the importance of asking God to change him. In one of his prayers, he said, Lord, I give you everything there is about this man, William Booth. Do with me what you will. God loves to hear prayers like that, friends, because it shows the willingness to change. The mark of Zacchaeus' transformation and conversion, friends, was his staggering generosity. He learned the truth quickly. He learned the truth quickly. That it is impossible to serve God and money. And before he met Jesus, his money was everything. After he met Jesus, that took a back seat and it became something to be given away. I was reading about this guy. I don't know if I say his name, doesn't matter. His name was Albert Schweitzer. No, don't try. Because I know everybody say, no, kid, that's not how you say it. Albert Schweitzer, who said, if you own something that you cannot give away, then you don't own it, it owns you. Hey? Luke 19 verse 9, Jesus said to him, today, now, salvation has come to this house. Isn't that wonderful, friends? Everything becomes new. Greed gives way to generosity. Self-centeredness gives way to self-sacrifice. Caring only about oneself is transformed into caring about others. We are made new, and this is the mission of Jesus Christ, friends. Now we come to the last verse. Luke 19:10, for the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. Isn't that marvelous, friends? The mission of Jesus is very clear. He came to seek and to save the lost. Spiritually speaking, we are all a little short. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Another version says, everyone has sinned. We all fall short of God's glorious standard. No one measures up to God's high standard. But despite our shortcomings, friends, I think Zacchaeus demonstrates that none of us are beyond saving. None of us can ever say, I'm too bad to be saved. The Bible assures us, friends, in Romans 10 verse 9, that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Isn't that marvelous, friends? Jesus came to seek and to save spiritually lost people, to transform sinners into saints. And he found Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus thought, I'll just have a good look. But he didn't realize Jesus was seeking him. Why? Jesus came to seek and to save the lost. Friends, Jesus is still searching and seeking to save people. He is seeking out people who need to be saved. If you have never come to him, if you have never given your life to him, friends, you haven't met him. But he isn't standing back and saying, I hope one day Johnny comes to me. He's not doing that. He is looking. He is searching. The Bible says in Revelation 3:20, he says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. Anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and dine with him and he with me. Isn't that wonderful, friends? You know, when I was a little fellow, I used to go to with my mother. I used to go visit my aunties and all the people. And my mother had a thing, and it used to be normal in those days that when people came to your house, as they're knocking, they're calling your name. My mother, Mary, Mary. And you know what? Jesus does the same. As he's knocking on your heart's door, friends, he's calling you. He's not saying, what's your name? Hey, buddy. No. He's using your first name. And if you're not careful, he'll use your last name too. When he knocks, he speaks your name out loud. That's how much he loves you. You say, how did he know that fellow was Zacchaeus? He knows you too. He knows everything about you. He knows your pain, your dreams, and the details of your life. He knows your failures and your sins, and he's been trying to get your attention. You may be hearing his voice right now in your heart. Just as he called Lazarus, so too he's calling you. Come to me. Come right now, for I must come into your life. Zacchaeus was transformed. He was changed by his encounter with Jesus. And so we can be transformed, friends. No matter what hurdles you face, no matter how far you feel you are from God, his love reaches out to you. He sees us. He knows us. And he loves us. Amen. Amen. Let's bow our heads in prayer. You know, we are good at saying, Lord, I know you. I know about you. Just like Zacchaeus said, I heard about Jesus. I know about him. But after his experience with Jesus, he knew Jesus. He knew Jesus. There's a difference about knowing about and knowing Jesus. Maybe you come here and the Lord has been speaking to you. He's been calling your name. And you say, I want to receive you into my life, Lord. Here's an opportunity, friends. Maybe you say, you know what, way back when I was a little, or when I was younger, I asked Jesus to come into my life, but I totally ignored him. I made as if he didn't exist. But today, he has seen me. He knows me. And he loves me. And I want to love him back. Is there somebody who says, Keith, listen, without making a big scene, I want you to pray for me. I ask you then to just put up your hand, put it down immediately, and we'll pray. I'll pray for you, friend. Is there someone here who says, pray for me? Thank you. Anybody else? Say, pray for, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Father, you are here in all your glory, in all your splendor. We thank you for Jesus. Thank you that you so loved the world that you gave your only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. For Father, you sent your Son into the world not to condemn us, but that the world through him might be saved. And yeah, Lord, you have spoken to us. In fact, you have been speaking to many people for a long time. They have heard you calling, but they haven't opened the door from the inside of their heart saying, come in, Lord. I thank you, Lord, that you are continually working in their lives. I pray, Father, for those who put up their hands and saying, yes, Lord, I come to you, Lord, come in and be my Lord, be my Savior. I pray that you will continue to bless them, that you will cause your face to shine upon them, that they will grow from day to day in their faith, Lord God, irrespective of the condemnation they get from those around, irrespective of the mockery they get from those around, Lord God. Lord, they are determined, Lord God, to connect with you, to have this encounter, to have a special meeting with Jesus in their lives. I pray that you will bless each one who put up their hands, Lord God. And Lord, I pray that you will bless them from day to day as they draw closer to you. Thank you this morning, Lord, for being here and for everyone who has come out this morning. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.